We're turning to the book of Joshua tonight, the book of Joshua chapter 1, and I want to read the first 9 verses of this chapter. In the morning time, our focus was upon prayer, and part of that great prayer was the words, "We rest in thee." I've been singing that all day, all afternoon. I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And so I want to keep the balance the way the apostles kept the balance in the book of Acts. They said that they would give themselves to prayer and the study of the Word of God. So I want to begin this new year with that same balance. So having dealt with prayer, we want to give attention to the Word. And from these verses before us, I want to preach on the recipe for success. And tonight we have in the book of Joshua, in my text for tonight, the recipe for success for 2017. So let's take a moment or two to read these few familiar verses, and then I'll give to you the text for tonight, and then we'll have a time around the Word of God. So it is Joshua chapter 1, commencing to read, and verse 1, let us now hear the Word of God. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to go to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And we'll end there, and may it please the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word for Christ's sake. The recipe for success in 2017. It is said that when David Livingstone began his trek across Africa, he had 73 books with him packed in 3 different packs, and it weighed about 180 pounds. After the party had travelled about 300 miles, he was obliged to throw away some of the books because of the fatigue of those who were carrying his books, because of the baggage they had to carry. The books were just far too heavy for them to carry. As he continued his journey, his library grew less and less until he had but one book left. And yes, you have guessed what that one book was. It was his Bible. John Wesley acknowledged, "I am a man of one book." And that is really what God wanted Joshua, the new leader of the children of Israel, to be. God wanted Joshua to be a man of one book. And I do believe that's what the Lord wants each one of us here gathered in the house of God to be in 2017. He wants us to be men and women of one book. So Joshua's strength and courage would come from meditating on the Word of God, believing its promises and obeying its precepts. So God's recipe for success in the Christian life for the year that lies before us is revealed in this opening chapter, where Joshua was commanded to do 3 simple things. And I do believe that in doing these three things that God commanded him, Joshua became a successful servant of God. He became a successful man because he obeyed these three precepts that the Lord commanded him early on in his experience. So for a time tonight, let's think about these three things. Number one, he was to be thinking about the Word of God. Now let me ask you the question. Have you been thinking about the Word of God this day? Has the Word of God been in your thoughts? Has the Word of God been before you? Has the Word of God been in your mind during the course of this day called the Lord's Day? Day set apart for the worship of God. God ordained this from the very beginning. Before it was written down by his finger on the mount, it was written on Adam's heart. Have you thought about the Word of God this day? You will notice how this chapter begins. In verse 1, the Lord spake unto Joshua. And the Lord still continues to speak unto his people this very day. Now he speaks to his people in a different way than he spoke to Joshua and Abraham and Moses. He spoke to them directly, but now he comes and he speaks to his people in a different way. You may be asking the question, well, how does God speak to us today? In the Word, of course. The day of direct revelation is over. The complete revelation of God is the Bible. God has nothing more to say unto man. Everything that God wants to say to mankind, he has revealed in the Holy Scriptures. God has nothing more to say. Now, he may impress something upon my heart, but it will never be contrary to what he has revealed in his Word. There are no new revelations today. This was a very defining moment in the life of Joshua. It was the beginning of a new era. And we have come to a defining moment in our lives, a defining moment in this congregation. It's a new year, and in a sense it's a new era, and we face new challenges, and we're thankful to God for his faithfulness in the past. Now I say that it was a defining moment in this man's life because he was given a divine task. The Lord spake. He was given a difficult task because he was taken over from a great man. Moses, my servant, is dead. And it was a designated task. He was to lead the people of Israel over the Jordan to possess the land of Canaan. So that was a defining moment in his experience. That was a great challenge. And this was the verse that the Lord gave to me way back in 1984. The presbytery had placed me as a student in Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I was coming in the footsteps of a great preacher before me, and I was afraid. And I can remember in the house that I was lodging in, and I sat down there just at the radiator at the window, and I said, Lord, how am I going to do this? And you know what the Lord said to me? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord gave me that word when I came to Orlando on the 20th of January 2004. I was coming, following in the footsteps of another great preacher, and I felt unworthy and unfit for the task. And the Lord just came and said the same thing to me. The Lord's promise remained the same: as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So here we find God's servant. He's taken over from this great leader, from this great man, and he needed a word from God. And sure enough, he got a word from God because the Lord spake unto Joshua. And God said unto him, Joshua, if you are going to be successful, there's one thing you have to do. Meditate in the law of the Lord according to our text, verse 8. And let me say to you right now, if you've any hopes or aspirations of being successful as a Christian in 2017, there's one thing you must needs do. You must meditate in the law of the Lord. Now, what exactly is the law of the Lord? Well, let me try to explain that to you. During the leadership of Moses, he kept a written record of God's words and God's acts and committed it to the care of the priests according to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9. And he reminded Joshua of his responsibility when he would take over that he had to wipe out the Amalekites. He included in that record an account of the journeys of Israel from Egypt to the land of promise. He gave special regulations regarding dealing with the inheritance of the land. The songs of Moses he taught to the people are also recorded there. He kept adding material to this record until it included everything God wanted in it. And this Bible we have before us includes everything God wanted to have in it. That's why I've said it as a complete revelation from God. It is infallible. It is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of the living God. We can depend upon it. We can rest in this word because it's absolutely true. It's all true because it came forth from the hand of the Lord, given to men, men used of God to do this sterling work for the glory of his great name. The five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, comprise the book of the law. The greatest legacy that Moses could leave or give to his successor consisted of God's words, of God's works, and of God's worship. And God wanted Joshua to think on him every day. And that's why there is this command to meditate in the law of God, because God wants you. I could go around this meeting tonight and I could point to you and I could name your name and I could say to you, on the authority of the Word of God, God wants you to meditate in his Word every day of every week, of every month, of the year that lies before you, in the will of God. Will you make a covenant with God tonight? Don't make it lightly. Don't make it rashly. Will you make a covenant before God tonight, as the Spirit enables you, to be in this book every day for the remainder of 2017? Will you meditate in the law of God day and night? God wants you to think of him every day. Let us try to use this illustration, a simple illustration from life. Think about you men folk. Your single days. Maybe your single days were good days. Maybe they were sad days. Maybe you just wanted to have someone in your life to cherish and love and care for. And then the moment came that you saw this beautiful girl and you couldn't stop thinking about her. You may not have had the courage to ask her out. And then you just kept waiting for that golden opportunity when you had enough courage to ask her on a date, because you couldn't stop thinking about her. She was in your thoughts in the morning. She was in your thoughts during the course of the day. She was there last thing at night. You couldn't stop thinking about her. And then the moment came, you plucked up enough courage to ask her out for a date, because I'd been thinking about you every day. You couldn't wait until the date night, until you were in her company again, because you'd fallen in love. And that's the way it is, child of God. The great lover of our souls loves us, and we love him. And he's saying to us tonight through Joshua, here's a recipe for success. I want you to think about me every single day for the rest, not only of the year, but for the rest of your life. It wasn't enough for the priests to carry and guard this book. Joshua had to take time to read it daily and make it part of his life by meditating upon it. And this book becomes part of you when you meditate upon it. You've got to meditate in it. You've got to take time to meditate in the book and allow this book to become part of you. And let that word of God enrich you and govern your footsteps and guide you through life and the making of every decision you have to make as a child of God. Now, no man before Joshua had ever received orders from God to regulate his conduct by the words of a book. He's the first man. God spoke to Abraham directly. He spoke to Moses directly. But he was going to speak to Joshua through a book, the book of the law of Moses. And he was to read about God's works and God's ways and God's worship and everything God wanted the people to know. God was going to guide him by this book. And God has a book today, and he wants to guide his people through this book, this word, this infallible word before us. That's the reason why I say to you as your friend, as your pastor, meditate in the law of the Lord. Now that word that is translated meditate in verse 8 means to mutter. It was the practice of the Jews to read the scriptures aloud and then to talk about the scriptures to themselves. They talked to themselves about the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes that abundantly clear. And this is the first time this word translated meditate is used in the original. It means to mutter, it means to ponder. So God was saying, Joshua, you must read and think on my word to get daily guidance from me. That's really what God was saying to him at this time. Another word translated meditate means to converse with oneself, to muse. And it is first used in Genesis 24:63 when Isaac went out to meditate in the field. And meditation implies reasoning about the word and deducing things from it. You've all seen the cow chewing the cud, turning something over and over and over again. That's the picture we have in meditation. So here we find Isaac. He goes out to the field to meditate. He's waiting for the day when the servant of Abraham will bring back a wife from the far country. So he's out there day by day and he's meditating. And as he was meditating in the field, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the camels coming. And the Lord brought unto him something wonderful as he was found in the field meditating. The Lord brought unto him a wife. Now let's spiritualize that. When we take time to meditate and to seek the face of God, the Lord will always bring to our heart something precious, something valuable, something wonderful about himself. If you want to get to know the Lord better in 2017, meditate in the law of the Lord. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Get before him earnestly. Read through book after book in your daily private devotions. Start in Genesis. Read all the way through when you come to next December, if the Lord spares you, end in the book of Revelation. Then start it all over again. And then do some other devotional reading in between. That's the way you get to know the book. That's the way you get to know the mind of God. The Bible says, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart." Those are words found in the book of Job. Very few people read the book of Job. It's a hard book to read, but you have all these little nuggets found there in the book of Job, Job 22, verse 22. In other words, tuck away the word of God in your memory so that they can be mulled over and brought up again and again and again after being memorized. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Tuck it away in the secret places of your heart, so that on some occasion, when you need to hear a word from God, you're able to call it to memory. The picture of the cow chewing the cud, turning it over and over and over in your mind, that is meditation. Turning it over. Let the word of God enrich you. Let it thrill your soul. Let it come to feed you. Let it come to enrich you. Let it be a blessing to you. The wise men opened their treasure, Matthew chapter 2. The Bible is a storehouse packed full of wisdom. Now unpacking its treasure takes time. Ken and Judy have been busy unpacking. Anne and I are busy packing. It takes a long time. Sometimes we need help to do the unpacking. There's so many boxes, so many crates, there's so many things just have to be brought out again, and it takes time to unpack these things. God's word holds the answers to the problems we have in life. It provides us with all the answers we need as the people of God. And it takes time to sit down to read and to study and to meditate. Yes, you can sit down and read a chapter in 5 minutes or so. That's good. I would even commend you to do that. But if you want to get the juice out of the orange, you've got to squeeze it. So instead of reading that chapter through for 5 minutes, you can do that to begin with. Read it through and then spend the next 45 minutes studying it and squeezing the juice out of the orange, every last drop out of the orange. Squeeze out of the book of God every precious thing you can get, and that only comes through meditating in the law of the Lord. Sir Matthew Hale said, "The Bible is the only source of all Christian truth, the only rule for the Christian life. Seek to govern your life by the book of God. Let it sink into your soul. Let it bless your soul. Let it satisfy the longings of your heart. The Bible should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. And the Holy Scriptures can shed light on any situation, whatever that situation may be. I can guarantee you, if in the time of crisis you turn to this book and read as the Spirit of God leads you." Sometimes I was talking to a brother just the other day about the leading of God in the Scriptures, and we were talking about just opening the Bible randomly. Sometimes that works, sometimes that's just what we need. And I used the illustration that I used to a brother. Somebody was looking for an answer, and they randomly opened the Bible, and he read there, "Judas went out and hanged himself." Well, that doesn't suit me. So he thought he would have another look, and he turned it over again, and he turned to Luke chapter 10, and the word that he got, "Go and do thou likewise." Now, that wasn't the way to read the Bible. But there are times, like Nehemiah, the Lord just comes and he reveals something to us. And maybe we get that from just the portion we happen to be reading that day. Yes, God can do that. But the best way is to consistently read through a particular book. And the Lord knows in advance, by the way. He knows the exact date you will need a word from God. So if you begin in the book of John, for example, and you've got a crisis and there's some particular problem, and by the time you get to chapter 15 and you open the 15th chapter, and there your situation is just before you in John 15, and you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt, well, this hasn't just come to me by chance. I have been moved to read through this book, and I just needed to hear this word on this particular day. That's the way I do it. And yet, at the same time, on other occasions, I can get something just maybe in the particular chapter I decide to read that particular day. God can work and move in wonderful ways. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it all depends even on the heart of the seeker. God knows those who are earnestly seeking, and the Lord maybe just has a word lying there on the surface for you. But then he might have a very rare jewel for you just under the surface a little bit. And that requires a little bit of digging. So God works in mysterious ways. You can't limit God, you see. He knows what we have need of. Thomas Watson wrote, "The blessed book will fill your head with knowledge and your heart with grace." He also said, and I like this, and this is what he wrote, "The blessed book will fill your head with knowledge and your heart with grace." And then he went on to say, God wrote the two tables with his own finger, and if he took pains to write, well, may we take pains to read. I think that's good. The word of God says, search the scriptures, John 5, verse 39. And the word that is used there for search means to search as for a vein of silver. You think of the old miners, gold miners, looking for their gold and silver. And think about the laborious troubles and trials they had, laboring, looking for the gold, looking for a vein of silver. Some of them lived and died without striking gold or silver. But they searched and they searched and they searched. And that's the way we are to come to the word of the Lord. The leaves of the tree of life, Revelation 22, verse 2, are for the healing of the nation. So the holy leaves of Scripture are for healing of souls. They remember the story there in Genesis 40, verse 14, when Joseph said to the butler, "Think on me when it shall be well with thee." But he forgot Joseph. The word of God is a field where Christ, the pearl of great price, is hidden. Never forget Jesus. Never forget the word of God. Don't be like the butler. The butler forgot Joseph. We can't forget Jesus. Where do we find Jesus? In the Word. Where do we hear him speaking to our souls? In the Word. So Joshua, when you study his life, he was a good spy. He was a good soldier. But he was a great student. He was a great student of the Bible he had. So he was to think about the Word of God. Second thing he was to do, he was to talk about the Word of God. The Lord said to him, "This book shall not depart out of thy mouth." Now, what does that mean? Well, the mouth is the organ of speech. And by this means, we communicate truth. We talk to one another using the mouth. And as I said before, it was the practice of the Jews to read the scriptures aloud. We even think of the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He was traveling in his chariot and he was reading out loud. How do I know that? Well, Philip was sent there to talk to him and he heard him reading. He knew the exact portion he was reading. And that's why he said to the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "No, I can't understand this. Who's the writer talking about?" And that gave Philip the opportunity to expound the scriptures to the man. He was reading the scriptures out loud. He may have gotten a copy of the scriptures there in Jerusalem. If you can put a copy of the word of God in the hands of some loved one, some friend, and pray that God will be pleased to use that, do so. And pray that someday they will begin to read the Holy Scriptures. So they were to talk about the Scriptures to themselves and then to other people as well. And I think that's the reason why God warned Joshua that the book was not to depart out of his mouth. And in the margin, it simply means be constantly in. Be constantly in. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, he said, I was never out of my Bible. What a testimony. I was never out of my Bible. And Joshua was told to be constantly in the Bible that he had. And those who hide the word in the heart will be able to bring out good treasures to share with others. Wouldn't you love to be able to share with your offspring gospel truth? To tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save. To warn them and to tell them of their need of the Savior. Many of them are dying in sin, and they're far from God today. Oh, pray that God will give you the tongue of the learned, to be able to speak a word in season, to be able to share your faith, to bring out of the treasure chest of your heart that's filled and enriched by the Scriptures a word in season to those who are weary, to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Find someone tomorrow. Tell someone tomorrow. Share Christ with someone tomorrow. Tell them the good news of a Savior who died, of a Savior who was buried, the Savior who rose again, the Savior who has power to save. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Those who delight in the Word will be like trees planted by the rivers, always fresh and fruitful. That's a wonderful picture in Psalm 1. The tree planted by the rivers of living water, always fresh, always fruitful in the service of God. Clearly, Joshua was to be conversing about his Bible in the normal day-to-day context with his family and soldiers and friends and others who were part of the nation at that time. Jesus told the man of Gadara after he had healed him, and the man wanted to be with Jesus full time, and Jesus said, go home. What was he to go home for? Go home and tell thy friends the great things that I have done for thee. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now the Bible was written between 1500 BC and 90 AD, around about that time. A golden thread runs throughout the Holy Scriptures, in spite of the difference of culture and time among the people who penned the Holy Word of God. And the unity of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a strong witness to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a God-breathed book. It's inspired of God. God filled the seals of those men chosen by him to record his mind in the Word. He came upon them and kept them from making errors when they took up the pen to write the Holy Scriptures. This book is inspired. It's the holy word of the living God. It's a God-breathed book. And the message of the Bible is the message of creation, the message of the fall, and the message of redemption. God made all things out of nothing. Our Heavenly Father created a sinless world where the first two people lived in freedom and joy, and then the fall introduced sin. And death followed, but God reached down in his grace and in his mercy to a rebellious world and restored a portion of humanity to himself through the work of Christ on the cross. And let me emphasize this. He says that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And all who come to him, repenting of their sins, believing the gospel and trusting in him, they will be received. That's what he says. That's his promise. I will in no wise cast out. And any who come will be saved according to the promise of God. And God knows who those are. God has chosen those to come to him and experience redemption through his grace. Someone said, Scripture has been reduced to miniature form in John 3, verse 16. It's interesting sometime to find all the significant chapter 3, verse 16s in the Bible. You can begin with John 3, verse 16 and then find others. You'll find one or two more. This one sentence summarizes the central message of the Bible. In the central message, there is the central figure, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And the whole Scripture is the Word of God, but Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word, the personification of God. And John puts it that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is more than the central figure in the Bible. He's the central figure of all time. Spurgeon said, Christ is the central fact in the world's history. To him, everything looks forward or backward. All the lines of history converge upon him. All the great purposes of God culminate in him. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This book is all about one person, the dear Son of God, the Savior of sinners. Jesus Christ as Lord. So Joshua was to be thinking about the Word of God, and then he was to be talking about the Word of God, and then finally he was to be trusting in the Word of God. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He was to trust the Word of God. He was to obey it. Now that word observe simply means to keep or to take heed. So he was to take heed to the Word of God. He was to obey it. And obedience is better than sacrifice. And the Bible says we are to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. So do you get my point? We're talking here about trusting in the Word of God, obeying the Word of God. The first time it is found in the Bible, or one of the first times it's found, is in Genesis chapter 37, verse 11, in the story of Jacob and Joseph. And it says his father, that's a reference to Jacob, his father observed him. What does that mean? His father took heed to him. His father kept his eye on him because he realized there's something special about Joseph and there's something special about Jesus. He's God manifest in flesh. Keep your eye upon Jesus in 2017. The rich young ruler said, all this have I observed or kept from my youth. It means to guard. It means to keep watch. And in practicing the scriptures, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, or thou shalt have good success, verse 7. Here we have the link between study and success. He was to prosper by honoring the Word of God. There's no other way to be successful. We can try to take shortcuts. It'll end in failure. We need to meditate in this book. Give God his rightful place. Get to know Jesus in the Word. You'll never regret it. And when you come to die, you'll rejoice that you did. Take time to be holy. A writer once said of the Word, read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. Another English preacher, a man called Guy King, who's with the Lord now many, many years, he put it in a slightly different way. He said, look it up, let it in, and live it out. Look it up, let it in, live it out. And then God went on to say, the Word shall not depart out of thy mouth. So Joshua was to feed on the Word. It was food for his soul. You get a baby newly born. It's not long until it begins to cry out for the milk. And the Word of God is milk to the young in the faith, and it's meat to those who are adults in the things of God. So Joshua had to feed upon the living Word of the living God. And that's why his life was a life of victory. A life of victory. He was a man who knew almost constant victory all through his life as God had promised him, because he observed, because he kept the Word of God, because he did what God told him to do. Joshua's generation heeded his charge. Even when he came to give his farewell speech, a solemn time, he told them to obey the Word of God, to submit to the Scriptures. Joshua 23, verse 6. And that generation heeded his charge, but the succeeding generations departed and got away from God. Joshua believed that there is a God to whom we must give an account. A God who revealed himself powerfully to Joshua. He revealed his will to him in the Word that he provided. Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock on which this republic stands. Would to God that one or two more would stand up and say the same thing today. Thomas Jefferson said, the first and almost the only book deserving attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world. So here's a man of the world talking like this about the Bible. Very few politicians would do that today. Luther wrote, the Scriptures alone are the foundation of our belief as Christians. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said, if you want to understand Christianity, do not shut your Bible. Open it and read it. Good advice there. Open it and read it. When Saul was depressed, what did his lieutenants do? They employed David, and David came in and he played on the harp. And as David played on the harp, that soothed Saul and revived Saul. When you feel sad, when you feel lonely, when you feel depressed, take out the Word of God and play upon the harp of Scripture. And I can tell you, it will do the world of good, studying in this precious Word. Some believers are like the five foolish virgins who said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, they run on empty. And you will not run on empty until you collapse and you'll have a fall, and it will prove to be disastrous. Some are like the widow woman in 1 Kings 17, whose barrel was almost empty and whose cruse was almost depleted. And then God came through his servant and change the whole thing. And the Lord can do that for you, and the Lord can do that for me. He can change the whole situation. If you're running on empty, if your cruise is almost empty, if the barrel is almost empty, He can change that, as He did in the case of the widow woman. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here we find this man. He's told to do three things. Think about the Word of God. Talk about the Word of God. And then trust in the Word of God. And I will cause your path to be successful. Joshua was one of the most successful believers we read of in the Bible, because he did these three things. And God made him a great man. God guided his footsteps. And God used him mightily in the service. So here we have the simple recipe for success in 2017. The focus is upon the Word. And in the morning time, the focus was upon prayer. So here we can blend them together as we come to an end. Be like the apostles of old. We will give ourselves to prayer and the study of the Word of God. And I can guarantee that if you do, you will prove to be successful as a child of God. Your life will be different. Your life will be changed. My life will be changed because of grace. May the Lord be pleased to bless this word. I'll read it to you again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Underline the word then in that text. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success when you meditate in the law of the Lord. May the Lord bless you tonight. Let's all bow for prayer.